Hey guys, welcome to Ivana's Thoughts. Today I have two lovely ladies that I've known for a while, Ashley and Javonda, and they will be joining me today for a discussion about the pressure of relationships, marriage, dating, and all of that. I hope you enjoy. So we're all from, we're in like three different parts of our lives, basically, right? Like, we all in different stages. So Les, I guess I want your opinion on how you experience pressure of relationships, marriage, and children now that you're like in your late 20s.
So for me, it depends on what type of pressure that we're talking about. You know, you have your social and you have your familiar pressure, and then it trickles down to the other, like, more direct hit, which is self-conflicting pressure. So social pressure, where it literally survives off of anything that's derived from society and how society operates and the message that anything in society that it tries, that they try to convey. And it could range from anything related to social media to also religion. It can even jump to interracial interaction, and, you know, various, you know, aspects there. And then you have a familial pressure where it comes from, like, your family, your friends. Mm-hmm. So for me, and then, of course, self-conflicting pressures, where you, that's the part where you now have to make the decision if you want to conform or do your own thing. And I'm a firm believer in where you, it's better to be a thermostat than to be a thermometer. Whereas if it's hot, the thermometer gonna tell you it's hot. Like, okay, I'm aware. But whereas a thermostat, you're more able to, like, regulate and make your own decisions and change, you know,
how your environment.
Yeah. So for me, when it comes to that pressure, I receive from all ends. I will say that. I receive it from all ends. With social media, with social pressure, is social media definitely plays a huge role. You know, everyone is all hashtag relationship goals, hashtag, you know, new house, new car, bae. You got the pressure if you want to actually show who you dating, and if you want to show an emoji over his face, because just that fear.
Keep secrets a little bit. Let's keep him on low for a little bit. You gotta make sure he ain't got no extras, right?
Exactly. Like, I don't first know who I'm dating at all. Like, you go find out who I'm with probably on our second child.
Oh Lord, that's late in the game.
Right.
I ain't know. But then you have, like, the religious pressure, like the Christianity, and then also interracial pressure, like now, especially, you know, through everything that we're going through, this all these adversities with racial pressure. It's, you know, growing up, I always had the, it's better to stick with your own kind. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe I might not just like my own kind. I might want to dabble into a little bit of different cultures and whatever have you. You know, being from Miami, I deal with that, because it's like, yeah, I can date someone black, but, you know, in my area where I live, there ain't really too many black people. It's a lot of Hispanic people. And I might just end up with someone that is Hispanic, and we might click. We might have a lot of commonalities that we share. And then when it comes to family, the pressure I experience is, I'm the only one in the family that is not only heterosexual, but also don't have no kids and never been married. And it's always when you show up to Thanksgiving, so the boyfriend walking in after you, or you just sit by yourself. And, No, it's just me. You know, hi, I'm doing great. I'm chilling. I'm good. I'm surviving. Just got a degree, so no, we're not gonna celebrate that. Sorry.
Celebrate my gains, please.
That trickles down into so like conflicting pressures. Like, okay, am I doing this right? And like, do I have the right blueprint? Do I have the right formula? Like, am I going the right way? Is this what we're supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to go to school, then go ahead and try to get in a relationship, then jump into trying to have kids, like trying to have a life before 30 type of thing? Like, so I'm constantly going back and forth with myself because I'm allowing outside external factors affect what I think is right for me and what pace I should go. And that's just for me, like for my, like how I'm living, single, no parent, no children type of perspective.
How about
What
you,
about you, Ash?
Ashley?
What pressures do I deal with the most? Was
Yeah.
that
Like
our original question?
how do you feel the
Yeah.
pressure? Like what how are you experiencing the pressure of relationships, of marriage? What?
So for me, being a single parent, the pressure of wanting to have that family unit, because I come from, that family unit. I come from that, having, mom, dad there for both kids, and mom, dad both, doing the house duties. Mom, dad both, bringing income in, like just that unit structure. And so it's for me, that's been the biggest pressure. And also too, like JB said, that self pressure, just trying to make sure, I'm here in my career, or I'm at this place being, this kind of mom, or am I doing it good enough, or just feeling like I'm on a timeline, but I'm on the last end of it, I guess to say, or that I'm behind. And that comes from, family, friends, social media, because like you said, you see, people getting degrees, or people getting married, people, having multiple children, and it's just, I think there's just so many factors that create so many pressures. It's so many.
We've talked, well, you guys hit on societal pressure, self-conflicting pressure, and then like family, friends, and all that stuff. I want to touch on like the timeline of what things are supposed to, how society has put this thing it's supposed to look like, right? So like, 'cause you touched on it, it was like, well, you see everybody else doing this, and then it's like you start comparing and it starts weighing on you, and then you're like, wait, if I allow this to happen, now I'm gonna feel like I'm failing. And I'm yeah, so let's talk about the timeline. Like, so in the perfect world, right? You have your love story, you have your man, you guys get married, you guys have kids, the dog, white picket fence, and we all know that that's not always the case, right? It's not accurate. That isn't the timeline. That's not the way that it always goes. So, how, like, I guess how important is it for us to make sure that we keep that in mind and stop comparing?
Think it's very important. Like it's a necessity to be able to like get through each day, because if you're constantly comparing and constantly seeing what the next person has and constantly trying to figure out what I can do to get that, like you're doing yourself a disservice. You're not truly thriving in where you are. And I believe that, God has you in a season for a purpose, for a reason. And like You can't get to the house, the car, and the man if you can't fully take care of your one bedroom apartment with you and your dog, you know? Like you gotta get, you know, sufficient in the place that you are and comfortable and grow your relationship, you know, with God and yourself before you can get to all these things that you feel like are for you. 'Cause I mean, granted, those things may not even be for you.
I agree with that. Like, I think, I mean, everybody has their goal in life, right? And for a lot of us, it is having that family structure. It is building that foundation so that you can have a house in the future with the love of your life, have your children and all that picture perfect life, right? And like you said, it isn't always gonna come in that time that you expect it to come, because at that moment it might not be for you at all. So making sure that you're self-aware of the things that you need to do in order to get there is one of the main things that you should focus on if you're out here trying to date and trying to bring someone else into your life. You have to make sure that you're self-aware of the things, your flaws, and work on yourself before you can truly make things work outside of that.
You can't
Say that definitely, especially where I work, I made a lot of friends, and this one particular girl, we were talking about that, and she told me about her husband, and like this one kind of like threw me back. Like, I was like, ooh, that's that real pressure. So he said, like, they were dating, he was courting, it was cool. Now it got to the point where he was, kind of like letting her know his intentions, like, I'm pursuing you not just for like we good now. No, I'm pursuing you for future. Like, I see my life with you. So let me ask you this question though. How in with your finances? And I'm like, wait, he asked you what?
Wait a minute.
You said he asked you about your finances? Like, yeah. And then I'm like, I'm thinking about me. Like, hold up. You want to see my checking or savings? Because you can't see both.
Because the way my savings is set up, like my checking and savings, the way they set up.
So wholeheartedly. And I'm like, you know what?
That's
I'm not
so
even ready for
important.
that conversation. Let me go ahead and set this up. Let me get my life together. And also, like, as I like right now, like, I'm just moving a little bit, I'm delving more into my career. So like, that's been my main focus. Like, that's been my main focus. I can't follow the blueprint that they hand out to us of the whole college lover, marriage,
Baby, here,
children,
baby, house.
like it ain't, and then it ain't peaches and cream to even get there, because like sometimes the person that you are with ain't necessarily the person that you're supposed to be with in the first place anyway. It's you might hit up two divorces before you actually find the right one, or you might have a child before you even get into the marriage mode and whatever have you. But like, there's no perfect blueprint, because I can't say, like, I'm 28 now. I just turned 28 a couple days ago, and it's like, okay, I'm 28. I have yet to have a child. I have yet to get married. I don't even like anyone right now. Well, I do like someone, but I
Oh,
haven't.
shoot your shot. Shoot
Ooh,
your shot. Put it out there. Go ahead now.
I'm not even like thinking marriage. Like, I'm not saying that I'm the type of person that's like a workaholic type of person. Like, I'm careered and that's it. All I see is money. But
Your focus isn't
like,
that right now.
yeah, like, and it's not to say like, oh, my life gonna end tomorrow, so I need to go ahead and find get Tom, Dick, and Harry, marry him, and then who's being James? Like, no,
You don't want time to get here. No.
I might want a Trey
No.
Palmer instead of Tom, Dick, and Harry. So like, eh.
No,
I say,
I agree. Like, it's Your life does not end tomorrow, and there shouldn't be any like there shouldn't be that pressure to just like, oh, you need to hurry up and do this. Like there's at the you know like there's the little what are those called that you that you flip
Hour
over?
clock.
Yeah, the little hour glasses. Yeah, it's like the sand is running out in here, so it's about that
I gotta
time,
have a
sis.
baby. I
It's
gotta have my degree. I gotta have my house. I gotta have my man. Oh,
And that's
yeah.
that is an unnecessary pressure.
But
How
that's the
do
pressure of our world.
Yeah.
and how do you deal with that? You know, like being in that position, how do you deal with that? Because I guess I'll speak a little bit on how I felt pressure at the beginning before getting married. It was we've been in a relationship for a long time, and once it hit a certain year, it's like, well, when are y'all getting married? Y'all live together, so this means that y'all need to get married. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, no, that isn't what that means. Like you are an outside source, and you're trying to interfere with what I have going on in here, and I can't let that get to me, because if I do, it's gonna become really unhealthy over here. You know what I'm saying? Because of that pressure. And we had a kid, and the pressure was even worse. It's like, well, y'all been together for this many years, y'all already have a kid, it's about that time. Especially coming from the background that I am in, like I have really strong-headed Hispanic parents, that it's like once you start having sex, once you start living together, once you have a kid, you guys need
Now
to be married.
married.
Yeah, like there needs to be something, that you need a ring, like, and I get that, but like we were both in college, you know what I'm saying, or just graduating. Financials were completely different then. Like it wasn't the time for us, and we knew that. And I think we got really frustrated even having to explain that to others, because that's not anyone's business but ours, right? And I think the worst part was that we weren't just feeling it from family, it was friends as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, dang, so everybody just feels this way? And you know what I'm saying? Like, well, dang, this is what y'all, that's your expectations for us right now? I mean, I get it. We expect to be married at some point too, but at this point in time, that can't happen for us right now. You know what I'm saying? And I had to like kind of grow into being okay with the fact that that isn't our timeline. That's we know what we have going on, and I just had to be okay with that, you know?
And that's the process of being self-aware, like basically what you said. That's one of the big keywords that today is definitely being self-aware. You have to understand where you at are, where you are at in life, and you have to understand where everybody's mindset is, and you have to be able to decipher: do I want to conform, or do I want to do my own thing? And if I lived my life based off of what everyone else wanted, honey, I don't know. At the mental capacity that I am now, I'm sure I will, because we serve an awesome God and He always
Amen.
brings us through. However, it's like he guides me in a different direction, because he doesn't want it to be, he wants to make it that much easier. Not saying that everything's going to be easy, of course he's going to test you, but he wants to make it that much easier, and it's just easier to be obedient to that versus following what everyone else, because what man has to say ain't necessarily like the it thing, you feel me? And that's just like a spiritual perspective. It's just, if I follow the blueprint like everyone else did, like I would fall into some of the, I like to call them the omens that I have in my family, where I feel like every woman that got married, they got a divorce. And it's just like,
I'm gonna chime in for like a quick second. Just for when you said, I don't know if I can't remember if it was on this one or the previous one we recorded, but you said, they give us this blueprint. And for me, personally, in my journey, my blueprint is the Bible. And like, because when I go by it tells me, how I should be living my life, how I should be preparing myself for when that time comes of, you know, whoever my Boaz is, you know, like
Yes.
and you know what to look for, and not to look for in him, but to trust that, you know, God's going to provide me with the man that already knows what I need. You know,
That
like
suits
I don't
you.
have to search. Yeah, it ain't nothing I got to go searching for. Like I ain't got to say, look, God, I need him to be tall, dark, and handsome with 6 feet. You know, like I don't have to do any of that because God already knows what I need and who I need. I just have to be obedient. And that's, for me, that's been my biggest pressure. Like being obedient or living by the flesh, you know, because we know
Amen.
sometimes it's like, hey, listen, I just want to go. I just want to go. But it's just taking that time to learn and sit still and listen.
And just be patient with what's to come, right? I do.
That's a
I like
blessed
how you
word.
said. I really do like how you said somebody that is already made for you, that's supposed to suit you, because I think that's something that you need to be aware of whenever you're dating, right? Like, I might be ready, but does this person really suit me? Do I suit this person? Like, do I fit into their life the way I want them to fit into mine? You know? So let's be. Because we're talking dating, let's talk about how does that pressure affect your dating life? Because so one of the girls said, I'm starting to question if a relationship has marriage potential as opposed to having fun and seeing where it goes. So I instead
You're
of
just
being
there to
present,
figure out.
I'm in my own head about whatever checklist I have. And you know, we all tend to have that checklist, and I'm just trying to check off all the boxes, right? So let's talk about that. How have you guys experienced that, being on a date or something, and it's like it's the first date and you're just sitting here like, does this person have
You know,
this?
sometimes it don't even have to be the first date. It can just be once y'all start having conversation. And like through conversation, you start thinking like, huh, all right, I like that quality. That could be a good husband quality. You know,
Yeah.
like I've caught myself and be like, Ashley, chill out, man. Just chill out. Y'all just started texting. Stop. So I think I get that, to me, that just goes back to, you know, the self-awareness, just realizing like, all right, I'm looking too far ahead. I just need to focus on right now. Because I mean, we all know we all gonna put on our Sunday's best, you know, on that first date. We gonna show out. And then once we get somewhere, you know, we might get a little comfortable, might get a little complacent. Then these things start,
Trickling
you know.
down.
Yeah. So you gotta not just focus on, you know, fixing that or knocking off every box on that checklist versus just enjoying the present.
I think it's funny because you would ex you don't expect anyone to just, when you have a checklist, to just get it done, you know, every single bit as soon as possible. I mean, we all make those long lists of things that we need to do, and then it's like, oh, well, it's Wednesday and I didn't do everything on my list for Monday. So I think that you shouldn't expect on your first date or when you're talking to somebody to just automatically like, okay, so he has this and he has this and this and this and this. Like, that's unrealistic. What do you think, JV?
I agree. When we start dating someone, you know, we automatically run in a mile a minute, I guess. And it also could either derive from, you know, previous relationships or whatever have you, traumas or whatever have you. Now you gotta go run a whole new checklist on this person. Like, you're doing your own background check on a person that you just met like 2 days ago. Like, but
You already starting off bad.
what your mama look like, because I done went through like all of your Facebook and your pictures of you and like I done went through it. I already, like, don't
Now you're
lie.
thinking about what your future baby gonna look like.
Listen, and it can't know. What is this?
Oh,
No.
we would make cute babies.
We would make you. Oh, I
It's not.
hate that so much. I hate so much.
Like, I only know you for like 12 hours.
He has beautiful cheekbones, so I know that my baby's just gonna have the best cheekbones.
Whole time, baby ain't got no sense.
No, we can't rush into things like that.
No.
You go. You do run through a checklist, and it's a force of habit that we have to break. But like you said, it's important to be present in the moment. Speaking from like, 'cause, you know, speaking from like a two different perspectives, because I know you speaking from the perspective of a single mother, Ash. For me, is as the child of a single mother, you know, her biggest my thing was she didn't want to bring any man around me, you know. And you know, back then I would think, oh, girl, like, could go live your life, kind of like everyone was saying. But then, like, the older that you get, you start to realize, like, you really do gotta check these people out, you know, because like she's doing the job of not only seeing if this person's compatible with her, but she got to see if this person is compatible to even be in our household. Like, do you bring that with you? Are you okay mentally, like spiritually, emotionally? And then also, I'm gonna speak from another perspective to kind of like chime in on our men. Men go through that pressure too, as well, because, like, especially like our single fathers. As a woman who's dated kind of a few men, most of my men have been single fathers, no, slim pickings, you know. So like they kind of go through their own checklist too. Sometimes it's not as thorough as what I think it should be. Whereas like, okay, are you compatible with me? Are you compatible with my child? Oh, but most important, are you compatible with my baby mama too? Because I must look, if I was a single mother, let me know who you dating, because I just don't want anyone around my child like that. Like, let me see who you check in on her too. And that's not to say every situation is form fitted to that
Oh, of
formula,
course,
because
because it can be different at times, and I think that does come with being intentional while you're dating, right? Like, that's an important part, especially when you have children. I mean, even if you don't have children, being intentional is one of the things that you need to be, because you can't just be out here dating anybody. You don't, again, you want somebody that's good for you. And if you're just putting yourself out there just to put yourself out there, is it really going to benefit you at all?
And that's a lot of pressure on us, on our men. Like now I gotta battle with, you know, my child and you, and dealing with if you gonna not nut up or whatever have you. If I tell you, hey, look, my child is sick, we're gonna have to cancel the date tonight.
And you have to be
I'm making
understanding.
you.
You have to be
Yeah,
understanding.
I mean, the right person for you is gonna understand all of that, you know, like. It ain't gonna be there should not be any animosity for that. Like, they should understand. Because when you are dating somebody with children, like, you have to be prepared for the unknown. Because I mean, as we know, children do things in 2 seconds, you know, like it just changes so drastic. So you have to be willing to be able to bend and give and compromise. But I mean, too, that's just in a relationship in general. That's without children.
And if you notice that somebody can't do that even in just the talking stage or whenever you guys are dating, then that tells you right there that this isn't a good fit. You know what I'm saying? There's something that isn't gonna work for me because I do have kids, and if I want this to work, I need you to make sure that you keep in mind that at any second I might have to go, or we might not be able to go on this date this day, and maybe we can reschedule for another time. And if you're not willing to do that, then that's gonna be a problem for me. You know what I'm saying? And that's in a male or female, like whoever you are, that
And
it
I
works
think
both ways.
I think priorities play a big role with that too, in single parent dating. Because I mean, you gotta prioritize your time, you gotta prioritize your finances. Like, you know, if you're in the house with your girl or your man, and you know the children are there, being present, not feeling, not acting as if you know you're your same single self before getting into this relationship. So prioritizing, like, all right, you know, it's not just me anymore. I have my girl and her child, or vice versa. You know, let me be present. Let me take the child out and let me spend some quality time with the child, and you know, and then come back. Like, it's balance. You gotta have balance.
In the ideal world, if the child's mother is not, you know, one of those mothers, like, if you don't want to be with me, you can't see your child type of, yeah, like,
yeah, I think that's a whole different, yeah, like, that's a whole different conversation too, though. Like, I think that's somebody who isn't secure in themselves and very controlling in that sense, right? Like, if because we're not together now, you can't see your child. That's not the greatest step to take, right? Because you shouldn't keep your child from the parent, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of those people need to make sure that they work on, again, being self-reflective and making smart decisions that will benefit them, their children.
Why it's so important.
How would you say
it's so important to know?
Oh, go. I'm sorry. Hold on.
I guess I couldn't hear Ashley. I'm so sorry. But I was going to say, like, also, like, have any of you, well, I know Ivy, of course, but any pressure from, like, the whole fact of interracial dating as well? Like, the pressure of dating someone outside of your race or someone that is within your race or whatever have you? Mm-hmm. Do you, like, have y'all experienced any of that pressure as well? I know I have. Lord knows I have.
I have. And it's a different, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a different kind of, like, it's a different feeling you get. Like, you know, first being African-American, right? You have that pressure of already just being African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in a relationship, you know, with someone of another race. Like, the pressure for me was parents, you know, my group of friends or just my fellow African Americans. It's like, well, why would you wanna, you know, be with them? Why won't you just stick with, you know, where you what you know, your roots? And it's like, I mean, it ain't always necessarily about the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, like, did you think about what the person brings to me?
Yeah. I agree. I think so for a lot of us, I think this is really common across. It's like you need to stick to your own people and you know, secure the race, right? And I think that is a big thing with my family, like not my immediate family, but their family, you know what I'm saying, like on my parents' side and stuff. Like, it was always a thing, well, this person, even within Hispanic, like being Hispanic, so a Puerto Rican dating a Dominican, it was like, nah, like this,
nah,
you need to be dating a Dominican or you need to be dating a Puerto Rican, like it needs to be this. But in reality, like, we know that that's unrealistic to me, because you are going to fall for the person that you fall for, right? Like, regardless of who they are on the outside, what they look like, if you have this connection and if you're supposed to be with this person, it's gonna happen. There's you're gonna build this bond and you're gonna move forward however it fits in your life. I think that there's a beauty in kind of being secure in what you have and not letting that, again, that outside source interfere with what you have, so that when people do say those things like, oh, well, why aren't you dating somebody that's in your race, you know what I'm saying, then that doesn't bother you as much.
Right. It's, well, for me, Most of the men I've dated black, but I've also dated Latin American men as well, and I've also dated white. The pressure comes in as far as with like the Latin America. I got to deal with the pressure from the family because not every Latin American, still to this day, 2020, I've recognized that there are Latin Americans that look like me.
Ooh, girl, say it, because I don't understand how they don't see it when they can look in the mirror and be like, oh, I'm of darker complexion. My roots also come from Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have ancestors that come from. Listen, those are ignorance. Ignorance. People who just fail to realize who they really come from. And.
Exactly. And it's like I'm like, okay, well, we'll do your thing, whatever. So you have the whole pressure of not being able to go to that person's house, which is like, dude, that's a big step in us growing together, because if I can't meet your family, then how do you expect me to even feel comfortable enough to know how you would be in a family environment? Whoever makes me happy in the moment is who makes me happy in the moment. Don't give me that pressure to feel like I gotta be with one thing. Like, don't give me your blueprint. Let me follow my own way. You feel?
Yeah. Let's speak a little bit on how the pressure from society and from your family, for religious base, whatever pressure that you feel for dating and any pressure that you feel from those outside sources, how they can cause what kind of things they can cause, like somebody staying in the wrong relationship for too long.
I think it causes you, if you're in a relationship, excuse me, for too long, based off of the pressures of being just in a relationship in general, I think you lose yourself because you forget, or not necessarily forget, but you just get so embedded in being that girlfriend, or being, whatever your career is, and being all of these things, and not taking the time to see, like, dang, is this even what I want, or what I need, or is this even good for me? Like, realizing that you're not sleeping for a reason, realizing that, you're having all these body aches and pains, and like, just your body's telling you, hey, you just in a you're not in a good situation, and recognizing that
Especially
for yourself.
those abusive relationships, and when I say abuse, not just physical,
Verbally,
there's
that's the worst one, I feel.
yeah, verbal abuse is very real and very present. But you get so much pressure to stay in each other. Oh, I love him, or I love her. But yeah, they don't love you if they keep giving you two black eyes, boo, and broken
But
ribs, they
the thing is that women who do, and even men, because men they experience these things too. They get so they live in this chaotic world, right? And they get so caught up in being in chaos that they think that's normal. So that is how he shows, or that's how she shows that they love me, because if he doesn't, this means that he doesn't love me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're arguing because
Their
we're
perception of
communicating.
love is just misconstrued. Like,
Everyone want to be crazy now. Like, oh,
no.
I hate
What is Drea? Is that her name? Drea, in her,
Talking about Megan Stallion.
like, love me enough to shoot me in my foot. No, that's not
No.
loving me.
She said
That's
that.
toxic. Yeah, but she said it. She was like, she meant it when she said it. She said, I meant it in a way, like, I just want whoever loves me to love me deeply, like, love me deep enough to, like, no, you ain't gonna shoot you in the foot. What?
Listen, a bullet
No,
deep in my foot does not mean that you love me deeply.
that
So no. Love me enough to put
to say,
consider
hey,
my
look.
feelings. You know what? Love me enough so that we
Yeah,
can
to say, hey, look,
communicate
don't
from
get out of this
these.
car.
Exactly.
Wait, don't get out the car. Let's talk. Let's talk this out. Not bring out no gun. What?
No, we need to like I think this is the biggest thing for me is making sure that you are working towards a healthy relationship, and if somebody is willing to shoot you
That's not love.
because they supposedly love you, that's not real, boo. It's not. That's
That's not
domestic
love.
violence.
That's crazy.
Okay.
But it
That's
depends
crazy.
what type of home they grew up in. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you can't bring me home to your family, I need to see you and your family element, boo. Because, like, I need to see what type of characteristics your parents got, going
Oh,
on
of course.
because yeah, you may not, show that, you know, display that on Front Street, but if I see just even the smallest amount of aggression, hey, can we put out a chair? I'm gonna put out a chair. We need to talk about this because
Yeah.
I don't need you to even raise your voice at a certain level and make me feel like, okay, so do I grab my keys now, or like, do I even give you the opportunity to speak on your piece, like speak your piece? Because there's no need to ever be disrespectful in a relationship. And let me go ahead and say this: can we normalize people keeping their hands to themselves in their relationship as well?
Listen, the thing is that happens. You know what I'm saying? Like when you are in a healthy situation, that's a thing. It's just, we shed light because of social media and stuff. We shed light to all these other patterns. And again, people live in this chaotic, in these chaotic situations that it's normal to them. The outside looking in, we know that that's not how it's supposed to be.
At
You know what I'm
all.
saying? It's just that it's normal to them, and
It's like
that.
on
Go ahead, Ashley.
I was just gonna say it's a Lauryn Hill song that I listen to all the time, and of course I don't know the name right now, but at the end of it, they have it's like they're in a classroom and they're just kind of discussing like what love is, and just asking a question like, can you be in love? And there's one girl that says, what if they just don't know what love is? And I think that that's the biggest thing. Like, we don't, a lot of people don't know what love is. And like for me, despite my upbringing, and despite the tough love of what I experienced, when I said earlier, I rely on the Bible as my blueprint, because I mean, if I can love the way God loved the church and his people, then I mean, I don't think I can do any wrong. Like, loving unconditionally, being like, God ain't out here beating on nobody, or he wasn't out there beating on nobody. He was laying hands, but let me pray for you kind of way, like, and I think that's just what
Protect
most
you and
people
your
don't
stuff.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you acting a little crazy right now. Let me lay hands and pray for you.
And I think that also comes with healing and moving forward from those past traumatic relationships. So whenever you are back out, because I think that's the hardest part, right? Breaking away from that situation and going into a much healthier situation and having to unlearn all of those things that you've learned to be love, right? And now that isn't happening. So now I feel defensive. Now I feel like this person doesn't love me anymore. So really, really healing from that before going into a new situation is key, because if you still have that past relationship coming into your new relationship, it isn't gonna work. If you're not giving it the chance to create something beautiful, to create something new and healthier.
People got to be careful with their words. Like, I'm a true advocate for manifestation, and little do you know, you can speak yourself into a repeat, a repetitive situation. Like, if you feel like all men are like this, you're gonna always end up with men that are like that. So a lot of people have to be careful also with that, and like you said, become self-aware of the pattern. Like, you have to see, okay, you don't like this. You know for sure that you don't like this. So go ahead and take those steps. Get into that mental capacity. Take those steps to have that conversation. And you ain't got to necessarily be in a guy's face or be in a girl's face like, well, I don't like this, this is that, and the third. No, you need to have that adult conversation with that person. Like, hey, kind of like Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz. Like, there was an interview with Swizz Beatz. It's like, Alicia, she doesn't yell. She doesn't do all that craziness. Like, you know, we'll be like in our own space and we'll have like a moment where we're like mid-laughter and whatever have you. And then it'll kind of like drift a little bit into like a ease setting where she's able to say, hey, I just want to also have a conversation about such and such, such. I just want to let you know, like, I didn't particularly care for it. And would you be okay with talking it out with me really like right now so mm-hmm. that we can like nip that in the bud? Because if I wanted to sit here and linger on in my spirit and then later on you do something and then people, you know how some people have that habit where they go like 10 years ago and be like, well, on July 12th 1998 you did this that and the third, and it just makes it even more toxic.
Yeah, it's harder to come from those kind of things because you've already built this resentment. So trying to undo that is really hard. So communication is key in those situations, right? So
you got to be aware of yourself. You know, do you know how to communicate?
Yeah, and some people don't. You know, I mean, in all seriousness, some people don't.
Right, and asking themselves, like, do I even know what I need to feel love? Like, do I know? Mm-hmm. You know, like, because yeah, I'm here, you know, buying all this stuff and getting myself nice things and reading my Bible here and there and going to the gym, but I'm still, like, feeling empty.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that I need to make mm-hmm. me feel loved and fulfilled? And if you don't know the answer to that question, then you don't need a relationship.
No, because you can't expect somebody else to make you happy. That's not something that someone else can do for you. It's not. You have to, it's something that you do for yourself, right? When you get to know yourself truly and really just have this, like, you know, this realization, like, this isn't making me happy. So what steps can I take to get there? Because once you are in this relationship, or once you start dating and you're expecting happiness from them, you're gonna lose yourself all over again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna let you down. Yeah, because there's gonna be that one thing that they do and be like, well, I'm not happy anymore, so I can't do this. When in reality, you were probably not ever happy. You know what I'm saying? But you basically chose this person to fill that hole that they can't really fill, and that's a lot to ask from somebody else anyway, right?
And because I think that's where a lot of our relationships now, that's why they just don't last, and that's including marriages, because mm-hmm. we all have this fixation of, oh well, they're gonna make me happy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna keep me happy. And if you're not, like you said, if you're not happy within yourself, it's not gonna matter what they say or do.
No, not at all.
Because you're
no.
going to be continuously searching.
Yes.
And different language. And understanding people have different love languages than yourself. Like if I'm telling you that I just want your quality time, maybe a little communication, but definitely quality time. Sir, you skipping out on dates with me, but then trying to fill that void by buying me something that you know I would like, that's not compensating. That's
I appreciate it, but it ain't really.
Yeah,
I think thank you for the and yes, I think that is true, but I think you also have to give the other person a chance to get there, right? So you can't just expect, well, listen, my love language is quality time, so this, you just need to take that in and make sure that you're aware of that. No, it's like, this is, I want you to build this bookshelf with me, because this is how mm-hmm. I know that you love me. You're spending time with me. I want to do things together. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's not, sometimes it could just be you're sitting next to me on the bed and we're probably not saying much to each other, but you're just there with me. You know what I'm saying? So there's different, I guess,
Yeah,
different
everybody's
levels to
quality
that.
time is different.
Yeah. And or if it's buying gifts, you know, any of those love languages, you need to make sure that you give your partner a chance to understand how to dissect that love language for you. How is it that you feel it? And you need to make sure that you're able to reciprocate, right? So make sure that you know how your partner is feels loved, and do your part in loving them the way that they need to.
It's that love language, that
Responding.
when I first was introduced to it, I didn't realize how relevant it is in a relationship until I kind of like thought back at my previous relationships. I would get so angry when a guy would just buy me things and I'm like, I want your time. Like, I want your time. I want to talk to you. I want to, you know, whatever. And you sitting up here buying me stuff. Like, why can't you? And then when I started, you know, reading a little bit more of the five love languages, I'm like, oh, so that's how they operate. Their love
So that's
languages,
how that works.
they're all about that giving and quality time. Also, you know, it's love languages. You know, it could be also the misconceptions of what it is to be in a relationship. You know, a lot of girls, they put this pressure on the men to say, oh, buy me this, take care of this, do that, whoop, whoop. And it's like, ma'am, can you take yourself to Benihana's? Because you're looking like a real McDonald's budget right now. But you're here and you want to go there and you want him to do this. It's like, how are you gonna put that pressure on somebody else, and you're not even at that plateau. You're not even at that pedestal. Like,
Yeah,
don't
your
do that.
expectations should definitely match what you can
I
offer.
think, and I think too, like, I think naturally we love the way we want to be loved. You know what I mean? So like realizing, so for me, it's that time or doing anything I can to make you know or to let you know, you're not alone in any of it. Like, I'm here with you. But then realizing, like, okay, that's the way I want to be loved, but that's not what he needs. So, realizing, okay, everybody is not you, actually. Everybody don't want what you want. So you gotta step back and be like, okay, so he wants me to find this, or he wants me to give him words of affirmation. Like, that's something I had to work on, because I'm not good at, or was not good at expressing, the things that I thought or my feelings, or to give a compliment. Like, I was so shy, I wouldn't be able to say, "Ooh, baby, you look good." Like, I couldn't do that. Don't ask me why, but I couldn't. But just growing and maturing and just realizing, okay, that's your person, and you should be able to do whatever it is that they need to feel loved. It's not a one-way street. You got to be able to give it.
How do you feel when you hear those statements? It's about that time to settle down, or when you're asked, why aren't you guys married yet? You're getting old, you know what I'm saying? It's time is ticking.
Oh, man.
Like,
Oh,
okay, y'all got wedding money until you find out who's this the second child is. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about
right.
me. Don't worry about me.
Oh,
Worry
man.
about yourself.
For me, I just say, like, I mean, when it's I, this is legit my answer. When it's time, it's time. And when I'm married, you'll see. Like, I ain't in no rush. I've been in the place where I was in a rush. I was like, when we gonna do this thing? We've been together 3 years. Let's run it. And now it's like, like, God, I thank you. I really thank you for opening my eyes. Because for real, y'all, you get in a marriage and it's like, wait, did I do this right? Like, you legit wake up and look at your partner and it's like, I need a return. Can I?
Is can I undo this? Oh, that is
A receipt.
the
I mean, that's the worst feeling, though. You know,
Yeah.
like you don't want that.
No,
Take on my
not
receipt.
at all.
Now you gotta turn into Karen. You gotta turn into Karen and speak to the manager like, "Look, I said I got the receipt. What you want me to
Take this
do?"
back today.
And I
It's
listen, divorce is expensive. Divorce.
and
Have you
hard, y'all.
like
And
it's so much
hard. It's
paperwork and stuff. I have a couple people I know that's going through that, and they complain all the time about like how lengthy the process is, how expensive it is, especially if you guys aren't on the same page. Then
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like that is a hard thing to do. So I think date like I like we went well, we were talking about dating intentionally. That's the biggest part before even getting to that stage, right? Making sure that you are intentionally dating and mapping out things that you need to map out together before taking that step, because not only is the wedding expensive, but if you decide to separate, that can too.
But too,
Yeah.
you know, like speaking, I mean, I've gone through a divorce. You know, I had a divorce from well, anyway, been married once. And not just the finance part, like the emotional,
Emotional investment.
yeah, because once you like break that tie, y'all, it breaks something in you, whether you realize it or not. You know, at the time, I was like, you know, this, and still, it was the best thing for me, my child, you know. But when you know, later on, you sit back and you think, like, it hurts, and you have to unlearn those feelings. You have to unlearn that person. Like, you have to go, you know, they're soul ties, right? So,
Yeah.
what's the big soul tie from being tied to your person? And then you have to, you get ripped, it gets ripped away. So, not only finances, but to just that emotional part of it is really, it's really hard. Really.
Yeah, for me, I'm gonna speak on two different things. For me, as with the whole dating and the whole getting the it's time, you're getting close. You know, I look at them and I say, "Do you like even know where my mind is right now? Like I'm still learning and loving and getting to know myself. Like I won't even say this is a sacrifice, because I feel like sacrifice has like a negative connotation to it. This is more of like my spiritual journey that I've taken myself, where I've literally been abstinent going close to 5 years. And it wasn't like oh, let me hold it back so that this dude could be like, "Oh, you know what? This, that, and third, let me marry her." Not no 90 day Steve Harvey type of thing, but this was a journey for self-clarity, you know? The benefit is it weeds out the weak ones, but at the same time, it's more so for me. And so the right now, yeah, and I'm like, "Girl, I can't even get somebody that I like to be on the same page with me and understand that when I say I'm about this life, I'm abstinent, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing this," because a lot of these guys, their thought process is a lot on intimacy first,
It's
conversation
not,
later.
wait. I was gonna say, that's a pressure in its own, right? And
Yes.
then, like, the pressure to feel the need to have relations. And, like, you said that, I think this is what you said. Their first thought is intimacy. And, like, I'd like to say that I don't believe, like, they don't understand the difference between intimacy and relations. Like, just having sex with me is not being intimate.
No, not for
It's not,
everyone.
like,
And that's another
well,
thing
not.
that we need to make sure that we're aware of, right? Because for some people, sex is
That intimate.
that is it's a way of them feeling your intimacy, that they're intimate with someone.
Gotcha.
But for others, like you said, it that isn't it, right? It's just relations. It's not intimacy per se.
Right.
Okay,
Right.
yeah, I think, let me rephrase that then. So when I'm in intimacy, I'm talking like sexual relations, not necessarily intimacy, because you can be within each other's space, and that can be a form of intimacy, or a date is a form of intimacy. But I'm talking like sexual relations. Like I just had someone in my DMs tell me, oh, no birthday sex. And I'm like, bro, wait, you just told me that you like me, one. Two, I told you I'm not interested in dating right now, but we can have this, we can have a conversation. And three, you already pushing it there. Like that's a lot, bro. That's a lot. But
But they want to see
that's
where your head is.
yeah, and
They
it's
want
like
to see if they can, like, all right, she said she asked in that, but let me see if I can, pick and pick and pick to see if I'll get her to change her mind.
Yeah.
Like,
When
no.
truly that's not the reason you even took that journey, right? Like you said, it was more for a self, it was,
Clarity.
yeah.
Connecting to my spiritual side, if I must say, because I will say this, this spiritual journey has been, oh, this has been amazing, and getting to know more of who I am spiritually is just like every day I'm so grateful, and I'm like, you know what, I did the right thing. You feel me? And that's just one side. My other side is also being a child of divorce. Seeing that and being involved in that, it's created this fear. And I think that's kind of what everyone is operating off of now is fear. And the fear can be, has different aspects to it. Like it could be the fear of even wanting to be close enough to a person to even just talk, or just to like I say with someone, vent, even though he feels like Black men don't vent. And I'm like, that's like, to you can't even get yourself to that mentality is sad, because it's like, who hurt you, sir? And I don't think that's fair to
It's
you.
like me need to be,
Yeah.
yeah,
please.
we need you to vent. You need to talk to us. You need to be held. You need
But
all of that.
that's a level of vulnerability that they were taught to not have. They were
Yes.
taught to be, I'm the man,
I'm tough.
I can't cry, I gotta fix all of this, I gotta be the breadwinner, I gotta be this big strong block or whatever. And it's like, y'all, we can't break that down.
And then the one side of a tear already makes me a sucker, so I can't
You're
let
gonna look at
that
me.
happen.
You're
But
gonna look at me as less of a man, when in reality, if my man cries, it's like, oh, please come here. Let
yeah.
me love you.
Let me love on you too. Like,
Like, that doesn't take
no.
away from who you are
It
as a man.
doesn't.
It just makes you, to me, it makes you stronger.
Yeah. Because you're
Exactly.
able to have
Because
that emotional integrity, right? Like you're feeling all of your feelings, and you're able to talk about those things that are hurtful or that have gotten you to this place, you know? But we can't skip over the fact, for the reasoning of men feeling this way, right? For a really long time, there has been toxic people in their life that have used their feelings against them. And again, and we've talked about this before, but like coming from a household where it was majority men, it was me, my mom, and the rest were boys, right? Like I learned that. You know what I'm saying? Like I have had a really hard time being open to people, because I felt like if I become vulnerable, if I say something that will let somebody in, they're gonna use that against me. And I think that's a lot of the things that men feel, because that's how my brothers are. Oh, I'm not gonna tell you this. Why? Because as soon as we have an argument, here comes the jabs. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the more we speak on this, we need to make sure that women are listening, and men do it too. That people are listening to this and really thinking, like, am I one of those people who learn something from somebody and use it against them in an argument just to get that point of hurt from them. You know what I'm saying? And an apology isn't gonna take that away. An apology
No.
is not gonna build that trust that they had beforehand, because I know me as a person, once you do that to me, it's a complete shutdown. I'm not coming to you about
It's
anything.
hard to
Like,
come back from.
yeah, like there's no reason for me to even talk to you about any of that's personal or anything, because you're gonna use it again. I already know your game, and I'm not willing to play.
Exactly.
So,
And
like,
we already suffer from so many microaggressions outside of dating and relationships. Like, if you are anyone that's in corporate or in the real world, you're already dealing with the fact that if you just express yourself as a black woman, or even Latina, no importa. But if you express yourself just a little bit, it's like, for black women, it's the angry black woman syndrome. It's the whole that label,
Why are
and it's
you in your
like,
feelings?
oh, can't even
Because I got feelings. What you mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I'm not trying to be conditioned to feel like I can't feel, because not only that, I don't want to pass that down to my own children. You
Yes.
feel? So I like those little things is what makes those phrases at the Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, anytime now. Like I get it all the time, like whether I'm going to like my family's house, because our family is multiracial. So if I'm going to my black family's house, they may hit me with the, you ain't got two kids yet, and I'm like, wait, what? Why how we skip one and go to two? But then you go to and I go to my Hispanic family side, and it's like, and then novio, no, and I'm like, no, ain't no boyfriend right now, Maria, no boyfriend, because this, I'm not there yet. Like, it's so much in self that has to be worked on before I even get to that second layer of collab, be joined in with someone and having that bond with someone. And then we got to work to that next level of, okay, how can we operate within society? It's just so many layers, and a lot of people don't take that into consideration.
Ashley, you were gonna say something.
Yeah, I think I was gonna respond to when you said, when somebody hurts you or brings up something from the past, or you don't want to, like, it's a shutdown and you don't want to deal with them. And like recently, I've been in that situation, and for a minute, hurt was there, right? Hurt. And I had to realize, like, this isn't even a situation that I should allow to hurt me, because for me, it tells me where they are. And I had to say, all right, I'm gonna forgive the action. I'm gonna forgive the words. And get almost give myself, it's like giving myself permission to say, Ashley,
Put up
you don't
with
have to
it.
deal with that anymore. Like, you don't have to, and you don't have to apologize for putting you first, and telling them, like, I forgive you. I forgive where you are. That's I get that. But I can't let go sorry,
You're fine.
of how it made me feel.
And it and you are you have a right to that, right? Like, you that should be okay for you to express, listen, this is what you did, and I don't appreciate that, and I can't allow that anymore.
Like,
You
you
know?
break the trust,
Yeah.
No, not only that, we gotta work on what the standards are too. Like, there's some the standards that's out now, they're so like just everywhere now at this point, especially because you're either basing it off of religion, you're basing it off of what your family say, what your friends say, what social media is saying, and or well, in my previous relationship, I didn't like this, but so I'm gonna just go ahead and just take this part and just say that this without checking your own self. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned to you guys before, like I said, the men have a lot of pressure because of, you know, with these girls, they do all of, they say they want this, this, that, and the third, and then it don't even be the right stuff, and then they like to label it chivalry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about it because I know exactly what you're talking about. That message, the little tweet that is going around about women saying that he needs to be able to pay my car note, pay my rent, pay my bills in order for us to even date, right?
Nah.
And those I don't think should be expectations. I mean, everybody has their preference, right? And hey, by all means, have your preferences, but like, that's not okay. If those are your standards, that kind of sucks, right? Like, I'm single, you're single, and I am just expecting you to pay my car note.
I'm expecting you to take care of me.
Yeah, no.
That
doesn't come right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? No. It's different if you're in a relationship and they offer, right? It's different.
That's when we become one.
Yeah, it's different if you're married. Well, I mean, to be honest, once you're married, your bills are together.
It's one anyway.
Yeah. So yeah. I think those are qualities that you should expect or grow into once you become more serious. But right off the bat, he needs to be able to pay my car note. He needs to be able to pay my rent.
Can you pay your car note is the question. Can you do it?
Were you doing just fine before me? Because if you were, there's no reason.
They got so many side hustles out here. So, like, there's no excuse at this point. Because, like, Stookie Hana definitely just had a whole OnlyFans page enough to support her to get a Royce. Like, shout out to Stookie Hana. Rapper. I know, right?
Send me the link. I'm
just playing. Ashley's like, hold up. I think I need to make one too. Click, click, create an account. Yep. Okay.
Rose, she showed up like finesse a nice little 100K, and someone showed like one picture from it, and it was like, oh, all she had on one of the pictures was folded clothes. So what you mean to tell me is that I have like some folded clothes in a corner, and I take a picture and I make, you know, my access to my OnlyFans $5. You mean to tell me if 100 people watch that,
there's people out here taking pictures of their feet, okay?
Yeah.
And making money on OnlyFans. I mean, it, you know, hey, by all means, do what you do, but like I said, that should not be in right. Let me show you my big toe right quick. But
you can see the whole thing.
but come on, like, we as ladies, we do need to do better, okay? Like, those should not be expectations right off rip. It shouldn't.
You gotta be able to.
There's some city boys out here.
You're right. Because
and that's crazy to me.
Out here, they doing the most too. You know, they doing whatever they can for that PS5. So
PS5.
No. I think again, we should make sure that we allow people to know that they still can be functional people without having this pressure of having to be married, having to date, having to have children. Like, that you can still be functional, a functional human being. If you want to be the person that travels, that secures your bag and moves forward with your life without having to open it up to everyone else. And that, I think, should be normalized. I really do.
Exactly, because if I look in the eyes of my nephew and niece one more time, or my baby cousin look at me and say, "So you just don't want to give us a cousin?" Like y'all don't realize that I babysat Zoe for 4 months and realized that I may not be up for that task just yet. I may want to
And
be the
that's
rich person,
okay.
you know?
And that is okay. It is okay. You do not have to sell your youth for a relationship, for motherhood, for any of that. All those things that society just pressures you to do, or this picture that we paint for it, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not the perfect picture. It's not a one way. It can be in any way. And I mean, be that rich auntie, boo. Do that.
Yeah, you want to go to Paris with Auntie next month? I got you. We go Paris. We go
Because you could be my aunt
Christmas.
any day if you're going over there.
Right, I'm saying. Like my nephew, my niece, they're like they. Well, my niece more so. She doesn't fully understand it, but my nephew is like the fact that I'm multilingual. He's like, you speak this too? And I'm like, yeah, because I got time to actually teach myself these things. I don't
Right.
have ABC thing kind of like, crowding my schedule or whatever have you. But let me put you on game, because maybe, I'll take you to, who knows, let's go to Japan. You and I both love anime, so let's go to Japan and actually, whatever, meet an artist or some stuff like that. But at least I
Cosplay
have the
that to invest in yourself.
yeah. Exactly.
Because that's where you are, and that's what you want, and that's what makes you happy, and
Yeah.
that's the whole thing. Like, don't fall to pressure, you know, because it don't work for everybody.
It
It ain't made
doesn't.
for everybody.
Money. I'm all about this money right now.
Yeah.
Okay,
All right. Well, ladies, this has been an awesome time. And I want to thank you guys for having this great conversation with me. Go ahead, Millie Rocky. No, this was really great, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to record this with me. And it was great. It was great. I hope that those of you who are listening enjoy it. Please subscribe, rate the podcast. And if you have time, join the Discord, which the link is in the description. And yeah, have a wonderful week.
Hi.
Hi. We said the same time. Bye.